I guess I kind of got, you know, in today's world, I guess, I don't know, this is not my good news, you know, you get burdened down with life, you get burdened down with trials of life, it costs $67 to drive trucks now, you know, it's, food, I don't know, I mean, everybody, I mean, there's no way to avoid it, but everything costs more. Food costs more. Everything. Insurance goes up. Everything costs more. And after a while, you just kind of get, I don't know, you just kind of get good, right? I mean, it's just every day it's over and over. And the trials where you watch the news and somebody's fighting with somebody over something, the whole mess going on in Ukraine has been going on for a couple of months now. And the war over there, we see about that on the news, and we see the tragedy on the news. You know, it's always, you know, because the news doesn't report great things. It's so funny to watch the news. But, you know, you watch the news, and it's just like, oh my Lord, I mean, it's political this, or somebody fighting with this, or somebody fighting with that, or somebody arguing over this, or a riot here, or fighting over abortion, or fighting over whatever.
Is that better? Whoa. Hello. This is Greg preaching. Can you hear me now? All right. Turn down. What? All right. Is that better? Okay. All right. Our technical department is not very technical. I think they're learning on the job, though. We got to give them credit. All right. Is that better? Is that better? Better. I got a Donald Trump thumbs up back there. All right. So anyway, there, you know, the trials of life, and as Christians, we can get drugged down, or I don't know. You can't help but see it, care about it, not necessarily get involved in it, but it still drags down on you. I mean, it's just life. It's just life. If we're here, we can't avoid it. It's just part of where we life and of life. And you know, you think about that, and after a while, you realize, as a Christian, and you forget that we're just traveling through. We forget that this isn't our home. This is just, listen. If you're a Christian, this is the absolute worst. It's going to get. Now, can the world get worse? Yes. This is it. Dwelling on earth, being here on earth, is it. This is it. You know, if you're here and you're unsaved, this is the best you're ever going to get. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this earth that we're dwelling in right now, the trials and tribulations and everything that's going on earth, this is good stuff. This is the best life you're going to have. It's not going to get any better. But as a Christian, we're just passing through. I think if we focused on that more, and I know it's hard to, believe me, I'm the same way. I got multiple businesses I run. You got life going on. You got family. You got finances, and everybody wants your money, and every time you go give them the money, the next time you go out, they want more money, and it's just, I mean, right? I mean, it's just life. It's like, oh, are you kidding me? I just bought that last week, and it was $3, and now it's $4.50, you know? But it's frustrating, but we're just traveling through. We've just got to hold on and make it through. Because we got a better place we're going. And we read back and turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 9. And what I'm going to preach about this morning is what you need to take a trip. Because folks, we're just on a trip. This isn't home. Yeah, we have a home here. We have a home here because we have to have a place to live, and we have to have a place to work, and we have to have a place to feed our families. But this isn't home. We're just on a trip, just like the children of Israel. Turn to Numbers chapter 9 and verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of the fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after the children of Israel journeyed, and in a place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. And the commandment, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days when the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was when the cloud abode that from even unto morning, and then the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. And whether it was two days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaineth thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. When it was taken up, they journeyed. They were on a trip. They were on a journey. They were on a journey. This journey that we look here is a picture of our journey, of our church, of the church as a journey. The whole time they were moving towards the promised land. They knew they weren't going to stay there. They knew that this wasn't permanent, but they picked up. They picked up and they moved, and then they sat back down. And they picked up and they moved and they sat back down. And whether they sat there for a day or 2 days or a week or a month or a year, they knew that's where they were going to stay. They were just passing through. They journeyed. We are on a journey to heaven, to a mansion promised to us by God. So God calls us pilgrims and strangers. That's what he calls us, pilgrims and strangers. Listen, once you get saved, you become a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. Before you got saved, you were on a journey, but you didn't know where you were going, what was going on, how long it was. You didn't know nothing. You were just here. You were just here. But now as a Christian, you're on a journey to heaven. You're a stranger and a pilgrim. We're not to put our roots down here. We're not to get glued to this land. We're on a journey. And it's easy. Listen, I know it's easy to, we as Christians, we know that's true. But, you got to have a place to live. You got to have a place to raise your family. But we got to remember we're on a journey. Now, if we're going to take a trip, the first you got to do is some planning. You got to do some planning to take a trip. You don't just wake up, or at least most people don't, just wake up in the morning and go, hey, I'm going on a trip today. Maybe some people do. But normally, you make a plan. You have to plan. There are things you need to take along with you on the trip. You don't just get in a car or an airplane or a bus or a train and you just wind up where you want to go, right? You don't just go out and get your car and you go, oh, well, I'm there. You got to have a plan. You don't go to the airport and just walk in and go, hey, I want a plane ticket. Well, where do you want to go? I don't know. I just want to go. You make a plan. You plan ahead if you're going to make a trip. Now, the first thing you need for a trip, if you're going to make a trip, is the right traveling companion. I remember when all us boys got older, Mom and Dad started to travel quite a bit more. They never took us anywhere because they didn't like us. But once they got rid of us, they were like world travelers, you know. No, I'm just kidding. they started to travel. And Dad used to say that Mom was the perfect traveling companion because he let her drive, and he said, I just watched. I just, you know, I got to be the sightseer. I just got to watch everything, everywhere we went, you know, and like, hey, slow down, look at that. Or so, I don't know. I'm not the best travel companion. I'm like a lot of guys. I have a goal in mind. I got to get there. I got to be there at a certain time. And it's like, you know, and you're like, look at that over there. Look at that over there. You just go through, you know. But the older I get, the less I like to travel, though. I can tell you that now. You know, my hip starts hurting. I can't drive. And it's just old age. Yes. Sam and I had to run up to Houston the other day and pick up a piece of equipment. And, you know, we actually had fun because we weren't in a hurry. And we're kind of traveling through. We kind of took the back roads up to north, kind of northwest Houston area up there. We took the back roads over there, and we're like, oh, you know, we had fun. We did. You were in Fredericksburg. And Sam and I had a good time. We just traveled through the country looking at all the pretty houses, and look at that one over there. Oh, wow, you know. But 3 hours about all I could take, man. I was dying. So anyway, I'm not a very good travel companion, I guess. But anyway, you need a travel companion. Traveling is a lot more enjoyable if you have the right person to travel with. Right? I mean, you know, like Sam and I going to Houston today, I could have gone by myself and it would have been okay, but it was a lot more fun to go with Sam. We had a good time, you know. We are looking at all the stuff going up there and all the cars, and, you know, he's getting the age now, you know, they get fun when they get this age. They're like, you know, cars and hunting and fishing and guns and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, we had a good time. I had a good traveling companion. When you enjoy the folks you're with, it makes traveling a whole lot more fun and easier. Now, we have a very unusual traveling companion on this trip. Leviticus 25:23 says, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For you are strangers or sojourners with me. Now, if you're saved, there is somebody that is a pilgrim, a stranger along with you. Notice he says, for the land is mine, for you are strangers or sojourners with me. The land belongs to God, not us. The land, the earth doesn't belong to the United Nations. The earth doesn't belong to any, they think it does. Everybody thinks they own the land. It's God's. It's God's land. It's God's earth. He's going to do whatever he wants with it, whether we try to nuke it, blow it up, burn it down, set it on fire. We can do whatever we want with it. It's still ain't ours. God, it's still God's. He's going to do whatever he wants with it, no matter what we think we're going to do with it. He is a stranger to this world when he's with us on this journey. The world doesn't know Jesus Christ. The world doesn't want to know Jesus Christ. He's a stranger with us. They don't know who Jesus is, but we do. We're traveling with him, and we know who he is. You are strangers and sojourners with him. Psalms 39:12, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace or my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, a sojourner, and all my fathers were. We are in, you know, traveling with Jesus Christ through this world. Is a pretty good traveling companion. If I had to pick a good company to travel with, that'd be the guy. You know, he's the one to travel with. So the first thing we need when you take a trip, or the first thing you need when you go on a journey, is the right travel companion. You got somebody to travel with. The second thing is, because you have the right companion, and God is one of them, it should make you want to take the trip. You should want to go. You know, there might be dangers and troubles ahead in the trip, but I still want to go. I still want to travel with my travel companion. I still want to travel with Jesus Christ. I'm ready to make the trip. Making the trip with Jesus Christ makes the trip a lot easier. Made a lot easier. But, you know, you want to go. You know, the older we get, you know, and I understand young people, they're like, you know, I want to live my life. I want to experience life. And God understands that. But as you get older and you get, you know, you start getting in life and life starts catching up with you, you're ready, you know, we're getting there. This trip's getting old, you know. I want to get to the end. you know, you start getting older and there's a lot more folks waiting for you when you get to the end of the trip. A lot more people you know. You know, I'm not very old, I'm 48, but you know, the older you get, the more people you end up on that side and this side. Amen? And you guess, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm ready to take the trip. I'm ready to take the journey. The more I read about where I'm going, the more I want to go. Right? I mean, you read about heaven. You start looking at the trials and tribulations that's going on in this world. Boy, heaven starts looking better and better, 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 better every day. I'm tired of paying $4.50 for a gallon of gas. You know what? Come on. I mean, I'm tired of paying more than I need to for a loaf of bread. I'm tired of all the trials, tribulations, and the political mess going on in this world. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of the arguments. I'm tired of the news. I want to take a trip. I want to get to heaven. I want to get to heaven. The more you want to go, the more you want to get there. The third thing is, if you want to take a trip, you want to know how to get there. You need a map. You know, you need a map to get there. You know, now, for all you young people, a map is a piece of paper that has roads on it in cities. You call it Google or Apple Maps. Now, I'm old enough that we used to actually, I owned a moving company when I was a young man, and I had an atlas. Yeah, I had an atlas. And, you know, we'd have to get the atlas. This is a true story. It's no lie. We have to get the atlas out and map out our route to get to where we were going. Because if we didn't, we didn't know how to get there. We didn't go, Siri, tell me how to get to Birmingham, Alabama. And she told me how to get there. We had to figure out all on our own. It was terrible. It was terrible. You need a map. You need a map. You need something to mark out the way so that when you don't get off of the right track as you go along the road and get on the wrong road. You need to keep your mind on where you're going. And you got to have a map you can trust. You know, if you had a map that was drawn wrong or had the wrong roads on, then that was the one thing wrong with paper maps, okay? There was no updates. You had to buy another map. You know, they build new roads or change something, didn't just magically show up on your phone. But, you know, we were watching, not Live PD, it's called Live Patrol now, Reels. It's back. All you Live PD fans, I wanted to let you know, Live PD is back, it's now called Live Patrol. It's on Reels. Anyway, they pulled a guy over because he was going down the wrong road, and they're like, sir, what's going on? He goes, well, this is where my phone told me to turn. The officer's like, oh, yeah, I understand that. That's happened before. And he's like, well, you need to turn around and go the other way. He's like, all right, no problem. So he lets him go, and he goes the other way. The point is, his map told him to go the wrong direction. Google messed up, or TomTom, or whatever it was, told him to turn. So, you know, and that's the problem. That's the problem nowadays is we're following our phone. We're not using our brains anymore. The sign says do not enter, but Google said turn. Okay, so I'm turning. It's the way I'm going. I don't care what the sign says. Google's never wrong. So anyway, you got to have a map. You got to have a map that you can trust. If you don't trust your map, there is danger you are picking the wrong roads. Your wrong roads. You need a good map. You need assurance you're going the right way. We have a map. We have a really good map. This map, unlike Google, has no mistakes. This map is not going to tell you to turn down a one-way street. Okay? Just like Google, if you turn down the one-way street, it's your fault, not this. Okay? This map doesn't give wrong directions. This map doesn't give incorrect directions. Doesn't send you in the wrong direction. If you read the map. Now, if you're going to get out and drive and go on your trip and you're just going to just drive around and just turn wherever you want, you're not going to get where you want to go. And if you live life as a Christian, if you just drive around in your Christian life and you don't read the map, you're probably not going to wind up where you're supposed to be. You're going to wind up in the wrong place. You're going to get there and look around and go, what in the world? And God's going to be standing back over there going, hey, woo, over here, turn around. Just like the police are. You turn around, go your way. You're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. A map. You got a good map. So you have the right companion. You want to go. You have a good map to get there. Another thing about a trip, particularly when someone else is doing the driving, you must trust your guide. You must trust your guide. Like dad traveling with mom, I guess she trusts her to get him there. I mean, I don't know. Did he navigate or? Oh, there we go. He did the navigation. She did the driving. might be why they didn't end up where they're supposed to go. I don't know. But anyway, now that we not only have a map that is right, we have a guide that's infallible. I've seen bumper stickers on the cars before. Or used to see them. I don't know if I've seen one lately that says, God is my co-pilot. You ever seen that bumper sticker or seen something like that? I don't know why you'd want God as your co-pilot. I don't want God as my co-pilot. I want God the Father as my pilot. I want Jesus Christ as my co-pilot, and I want the Holy Spirit as my navigator. I'm just going to sit in the back and take a ride. You know, that's the way we should live as Christians. We have somebody that can get us there. We have somebody that can send us in the right direction. We have somebody that can guide us there. We don't need God as a co-pilot. You need to let God do the driving. You know, you don't get up and get in the pilot seat and take over. You know, Chris back there flies an airplane. When he flies people, they don't get on and go, hey, you know, can I take a shot? You know, I'm sure he would be like, no, go sit down. We want to get there in one piece on time and where we're supposed to go. He's just not going to let them take a shot at it, you know. We need to let God do the driving. Make sure when you're on this journey that the one behind the wheel knows what he's doing and where he's going. Don't trust yourself to do it. Let him do the driving. Let him do the driving. You know, it says that Jews in the Old Testament had a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. They had the right person leading them. And they were following him. He was driving. They didn't just wake up in the morning and go, hey, Moses, let's go ahead and go over there. That's not how it worked. Moses was in charge, but Moses wasn't driving. God told him when to move, how to move, where to move, every single time. And they followed him. There's a little poem that says, Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves around me roll, hiding rocks and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. You need Jesus Christ as your pilot. He'll get you there on time in the right place. If you jump in the driver's seat, listen, he'll let you jump in the driver's seat. Unlike Chris, he will not let you jump behind the girls in the airplane. But Jesus Christ will let you jump in the driver's seat and say, you want to drive for a while? Have at it. I'll sit over here and just watch. Maybe chuckle every once in a while. Because you know what? Yeah, you're going to eventually, if you're have any kind of relationship with God at all, eventually you're going to pull over and go, hey, can we switch seats? You ever gotten in your Christian life where you had to pull over and switch seats? I have. You're driving along and, excuse me, anybody got any water? I don't think I'm going to catch that from there. You ever been in your life as a Christian and you're driving along and next thing you know, you don't even realize you're doing it. You look over and you're driving. Thank you. You never meant to get in the driver's seat. Maybe you didn't do it intentionally. But life is going on. Life is, and you're just trying to get where you want to in life. You're trying to make things happen. You're trying to get the pieces where you want them. You're trying to get things going. And the next thing you know, you got steering wheel in your hand. And as a Christian, that's when you realize you got steering wheel in hand. That's the time. Let off the accelerator, put on a little brake, pull over, and switch seats. Hey, God, I'm sorry. Because God's going to sit. Listen, he's not getting out of the car. Right? You're saved. You're going to heaven. You can't go to hell. He's in the car. He's not getting out. He's on the trip with you. It's just You took over for the last 2 or 3 miles, or 4 miles, or 5 miles. And you got to pull over, switch seats, and God gets in the driver's seat and says, okay, let's turn around. You took 3 left turns or 2 right turns, and you're going the wrong way. Let's turn around. Let's get back on track. Let's get back on track. When you make a trip, you want to go with someone who's been over the ground before me. Boy, that's important. Listen, I want to depend on someone who's been up there and down here and knows the way back up there. Amen? I want someone who knows the trail. He's been where we're going and knows how to get there. And he's gotten a whole bunch of people there, millions, billions of people there before we ever got there. He never failed a single one of them. And we ride along in life and think that we need to take the wheel and drive. Listen, he knows how to get you there. He's been there, done that. He knows the course. He knows the road. He knows the way. He knows the map. He knows the potholes. He knows the detours. We don't. We take the wheel and we start driving. We take the wheel and take over. That's when the problems begin. I want somebody who's been there. I want somebody who knows how to get me there. I want a tour guide. I want a life coach or whatever you want to call it that knows where I'm going and knows how to get me there. Best life coach in the world. Don't ever hire a life coach. You got one. You got one. He knows. He's been there. He knows how to get there. He knows everything you need to know. Number 6, I want to travel with someone who knows where the problems are along the way. We just talked about that. I want to travel with someone who can get me there safely. I want to arrive safely when I get there. I want somebody who knows what they're doing. When I go on a trip and I get in an airplane, I trust the guy behind the controls knows what he's doing. Again, that's why Chris is there. When those people get in an airplane with Chris, they trust that Chris knows where he's going. If you grew up with him, you would doubt that. But no, I'm just kidding. But he's the pilot. He knows where he's going. He knows the direction he's going. He knows the dangers that are ahead. He knows everything that needs to be done. He's going to arrive safely. I trust him. I trust him to get me there. I want a guy to get me safely through to the other side. Knows the pitfalls to avoid along the way. See, when we take over and we start driving, we hit those pitfalls. We hit those potholes. We hit those ruts in the road. You know, most of the ruts in the road and the pitfalls we hit in the road, it's our own fault. It's not, you know why? Because we were driving. We were taking over and God's just sitting over there. God's sitting over there on the side going, look out, look out, wah, 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 wah. And then they show up. That's what happens right there. You wreck. Number 7, you want your needs met along the way. Right? I mean, come on. We want to take the journey. We want to get there. But we don't want to do it in discomfort. You know, and God knows that. To make a trip enjoyable, it's always nice when you can stop along the way and get a drink or something to eat. A little blessings. Philippians 4:19, may God supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. When you're on a journey, we are on a journey and we have a guide who could supply all our needs along the way. If we just let him. He'll give us exactly what we need along the way and exactly what we need to make it along the way. Sometimes he's real good to us and give us some air conditioning as we go too. Amen? A little comfort. I mean, let's be honest. Hasn't God provided for you, for me, so far? And probably provided a little bit more than we really need on this trip? Yeah. Haven't we been given a few luxuries on this trip as we've gone along the way? Listen, there's people in this world that are in Sunday school or in church this morning that aren't meeting in an air-conditioned building. There's places in this world, when the gentleman was here from Ukraine. What were the names? Rube. That morning, he had gotten a text from people that were having church in Ukraine while bombs and bullets were flying around. That same exact morning. We have a few luxuries in on this trip, don't we? We're sitting in an air-conditioned building. There's no bullets, bombs. There's no threats. We're comfortable. We're going to leave here and go home and go out to eat, get some lunch, come back at 2 o'clock, enjoy another service. It's a luxury. God's provided us a lot of luxuries on this trip. We frankly don't deserve. We don't deserve. Another thing you need on a trip is always, it's always nice to be able to get refreshed along the way. Every once in a while, our God has given us refreshment. Again, we just talked about that a lot. Lift us up. You ever been to a church service where God just lift you up? Encourage you, strengthen you, help you to just want to keep going? I mean, come on now. I've been in church my entire life. I have not gotten up every Sunday morning and gone, woohoo, today's church! You haven't either. You get up on Sunday morning and go, gotta go to church. Gotta go listen to that loudmouth preacher. You ever got to church? You don't want to be there. You sit down. You're kind of grumpy. Oh, how are you? Yeah, I'm glad to be here. And God touch your heart. And you leave and go out that door, and you're not the same person that came in the door. He'll lift you up. Just ask Him. He's your tour guide. He's your guide in life. He knows what you need. Listen, I realize every time you come through those doors, it's not going to be a blessing from God, and the heavens are going to open, and the angels are going to come down, and the music's going to play. That's not reality. But every once in a while, if you just stay on the road and you just keep going and you get up on Sunday morning and you go to church and you get in here and you're grumpy and you tell everybody hello when you really don't mean it and you sit down and God will touch your heart. Yeah. All it takes is to show up, make a little effort. You know, He's answered some prayers along the way. God answered some of your prayers. I didn't say God answered all your prayers. I just said as He answers some of your prayers. Because you know what? Thank God, God doesn't answer all my prayers. I would not be in a very good spot. Not at all. But He answers some of them. On His timetable, at His will, when I need them. Because listen, when I think I need something, I don't always need it. But He's answered some prayers. Healed some people we love and care about. Provided you with some money. Provided you with some income. Provided with a job. Now, I didn't say He provided you with all your money that you need or want or desire. I don't know. We're not, this isn't a church full of millionaires. If they are, you guys need to give a little more. Just saying, okay? Just want to clarify that. If you're hiding a little bit, you know. But they're not. I understand that. We're not all showing up to church. We're not got $1 million in our pocket. But He's blessed us. He's blessed us along the way. He sent some rain when we need it. Amen? Amen. All this is to encourage us to keep going. To help us realize that is what to come is much better than what we have here. Much, much better. Number 9, another thing about this journey, it's good to have someone to meet when you get there. We talked about that a little bit already. The older you get, the more on that side. The more you look forward to meeting someone on the other side, the more and more friends and family are on that side waiting for us to show up. It's always good to have someone to be waiting for you when you arrive at your destination. You know, you ever flown and you get to the airport and there's nobody there, like you're by yourself? Or, you know, I remember a story that when my brother, my older brother Keith, and his friend Mike flew one time, I don't remember where they flew to, they flew into Philadelphia Airport and my mother was supposed to pick them up and she got the wrong date. And they showed up at the airport. There was nobody there. They call her, and she goes, "Oh, no, they're not supposed to." I think they called you collect, didn't they? They called her collect, and she says, "Oh, no, they're not supposed to be here till tomorrow." Boom, and hung up the phone. Yeah. That's no fun. It's nice to have somebody when you arrive at the airport. You know, you've been away. You fly back. And hey. You know, used to be you could wait, you know, it's changed now. You can't wait right there. You can't wait there right there. Can you wait at the gate now when people get off? I don't think you can. But anyway, it's nice to have somebody to meet when you get there. It's nice to have somebody on your destination. Listen, I bet you we all probably know or have somebody on the other side waiting. I mean, probably multiple people waiting. There are somebody over there today waiting at the arrival gate for you. Yeah. Probably is. Listen, if you're here unsaved, let me tell you something. When you get to hell, there's nobody waiting. There's nobody waiting. When you get to hell, it says it's absolute pitch blackness. It says it's agony. There's nobody waiting. There's nobody waiting at gates of hell going, "Woohoo, come on, buddies, let's party. You're finally here, let's have a good time." That's the world's thoughts. That's the world's vision of what reality is. It's not reality. The Bible says there is nobody in hell waiting for you. Nobody. But I got a whole bunch of people waiting for me in heaven. I don't know what they're doing right now. Who knows? I mean, maybe. Listen, you know, our perception of time is obviously different than the perception of time in heaven. So for all I know, they're all gathered right at the gate right now. They're all getting up. They're all like, "Hey, man, something's going on. Something's happening. Let's get over there and look. We want to get a good view." I don't know. Listen, the Lord could come back tomorrow. The rapture could be in 5 seconds. The rapture could be in 5 minutes. I don't know. But I got a bunch of people over there waiting for me. People I grew up with. People I've been in church with. People I've known, I got people over there waiting for me. The older I get, the more people are over there waiting for me. More people are waiting for me. It's nice to know we got some people waiting for us. We got some people waiting for us. Number 10, another thing about this trip is that you have good news to take with you along the way. That means that every stop along your journey, you can tell folks about where you're going, how to get there. Amen? You got good news to spread on your journey. You got a good news to tell people about what your journey is, where you're going. Hey, let me tell you about my traveling companion. And let me tell you about where he's taking me. Let me tell you about where he's taking me. Let me tell you about what's on the other end. We got good news to share on our journey. It's not a sad journey. It's an exciting journey. It's an exciting journey. We get to tell. Listen, an unsaved person has nothing wonderful, great, or exciting to tell anybody about the end of their journey. We do. We got wonderful news. Listen, we're just passing through, people. Listen, this is a step along the way. We got great news. Another luxury of this trip. This is the big one. Our fare's been paid for. It's free. And it's not one of those that you win, and if you come down, we'll give you 3 nights and 2 days, or 3 days and 3 nights, but you got to go to this seminar about this timeshare. And then if you spend 3 hours with us, then we'll give you these 3 days and 3 nights. No. I don't have to do anything. I have nothing. Listen, there is nothing I can do to pay for this trip. There's nothing I have to do to pay for this trip. All I've got to do is get on board. That's it. All I got to do is say, Jesus Christ, I believe you paid for my sins. You died on the cross. I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. Save me. I'm on board. My destination changed. And it's all paid for. It's all paid for. He didn't charge us a dime. He paid for everything. Nothing up front and nothing owed when we get there. The entire trip is bought and paid for. And 12, lastly, there's a reward at the end of my journey. You realize that? Not only is it bought and paid for, I'm getting there for free. When I get there, He's going to reward me for getting there. And I had nothing to do with getting there. You realize that? You have nothing to do with getting to heaven. You can't get there. You cannot get to heaven. But He can. And then you're going to show up, and He's going to say, really? Wow. Thanks for traveling with Jesus Christ Air, and here's a reward. How many airlines you ever flew of that you got to the end of the airline, you land, and they're like, oh, here, let me give you $1,000 as you get off our plane. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. We get a reward at the end of our journey. And we did nothing for it. All we've got to do is sit back, let Him drive, and we can get there. So that's our Christian journey. Start with the right travel companion. Have a desire to make your trip. Set your affections on things above. The desire to make the trip. Perfect map. Perfect map to follow. The best guide you can get. The right pilot. And the guide's been there, done that, knows where he's going. He knows the dangers and problems along the way. He knows the pitfalls, the potholes, the ruts. He's meeting all our needs along the way. He's refreshing us occasionally along the way, giving us some blessings. When we become fatigued and stressed, He comforts us, blesses us. When we're tired, we have folks to meet us at the end of the journey. It's all paid for. And there's a reward when we get there. And you're guaranteed to arrive at your destination right on time. Every time. No one's ever been late to heaven. You realize that? You can't show up late to heaven. It's impossible. Thank God. I show up late everywhere. My wife would be like, that's the only place. She'll be like, I'll probably be late to my own funeral. You that are around at my funeral, make a note of that. It'd be hilarious. The hearse will probably break down or something. You'll be right on time. You're going to show up on time every time. Listen, if you're here, and I look out of this audience, probably most of you are saved. But if you're here and you're not on this journey with me. You're not on this journey with the folks in this room that are saved. You have a different destination than I do. Your destination has no one waiting for you when you get there. Your destination has no reward when you get there. Your destination has pain, suffering, and anguish for eternity. That's it. This is the best you're ever going to get. Listen, if you're here and you're unsaved and you don't want to get saved, I advise you to leave here, go live it up, and never come back. This is it. This is the best it's going to get, baby. Have some fun. But you know what? Your destination is not what I've got. Your destination is completely different. You're on a different trip. There's nobody driving for you. You're driving yourself. And you don't know how to get there, and you're going to wind up in hell. All you've got to do is ask Jesus Christ to save you, and listen. You got a new driver, a new destination, all paid for, and a reward when you get there. And people on the other end to meet you when you get there. Listen, there's a lot of people in this life that I've known, that we've lost, that I can't wait to see again. I really can't. And the older I get, the more it's like, well, I'm kind of, you know, we were singing that Beulah Land song this morning. Died of a heart attack. We met him at Houston. Oh, daggone it. See, this is what happens when you get old. Sometimes you get old, you forget the people that you're going to meet there. Brother Blanco. I remember Brother Blanco. Brother Blanco was a evangelist, and he was fun. Brother Blanco was a blast. We've known him since we were kids. And Beulah Lamb was one of Brother Blanco's favorite songs to sing. And Brother Blanco could sing. His wife played the piano. He could sing. He sang "Old Ship Ahoy." Oh my gosh! I mean, it took chills down your back. And Brother Blanco, we used to sing Beulah Lamb when we were kids growing up, teenagers, and he'd all have us yelling, "Praise God," and "Oh yes," in the middle of the song. That's why I sang that song. I can't wait to see Brother Blanco again. He's a lot of fun. And I bet you he's just as much fun as heaven, if not more than he was here. He's a blast. I'm looking forward to seeing some people on this side. These are people I known growing up, preachers, evangelists, people that I cared about and loved. I'm going to get to see them again. Just got to get to the other side. I just got to get through this journey and get to the other side. We're on a great journey. Listen, the next time you watch the news, the next time you go to the gas station and fill up, just on a journey. Just fill the tank up. You're just getting where you need to go. It hurts, you know. But, you know, you ever seen those stickers they stick on their thing that says Joe Biden, when he says, "I did that with the price of gas"? I'm going to get me a sticker that says, "Jesus Christ, that don't matter." Just on a journey. Just passing through. There's going to be some pain and suffering along the way. There's going to be a little hiccups. There's going to be some potholes. There's going to be some ruts. But you know what? I already know where I'm going. I already know where I'm going. I hope that helps. You know, it helps you deal with whatever problems you're going to face this week. When you face those problems this week, you think about my ugly face and my long-winded message and say, "Hey, just passing through. I'm just passing through." The next time you're on the road and somebody cuts you off, just roll down the window and say, "Hey, I'm just passing through." Amen? When you're at Walmart and the lady in front of you, "Hey, ma'am, let me tell you, just passing through. Just passing through." Amen? It'll change your outlook. It changed my outlook on life. It changed my outlook on life. Amen? All right, let's pray and we'll get out of here. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, your guidance, your mercy and grace. Thank you for being with us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would touch these hearts, Lord. I pray that what we've heard this morning, Lord, will take with us the rest of the week, the rest of the month, the rest of the year, Lord, and that we just focus on our relationship with you. And God, when we deal with the trials, tribulations, and the fights of this life, Lord, we're just passing through. We're just passing through, Lord. We got to deal with them. We got to get through them, but we're just passing through, Lord. We have a wonderful, amazing place we're heading to where there'd be no tears, no death. There's no need for money. It's this absolute perfect eternity, Lord. We love you and thank you for all you do for us. Guide us and direct us. Bring us back at 2:00. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.